Going to read one verse here, and so I'll not ask you to stand. But I want to give you what the Lord's put on my heart here out of Deuteronomy chapter 20. And look with me in verse number 1. What's going on here is the Lord is laying out for Israel, for His people, the rules for warfare. When they go to war, when they go to battle and fight their enemies, fight God's enemies, how to go about it, and the rules and regulations, if you will. And I just want to read this first verse because before he gets into the particulars, he has something to say here in verse 1. He says, "When thou goest out to battle against thine enemies and seest horses and chariots," come on in, Ronnie, "seest horses and chariots and people more than thou, be not afraid of them, for the Lord thy God is with thee, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt." And I want to give you just a few thoughts here on encouragement in troubles. So let's pray. Father, I come before your throne of grace. I thank you for letting us be in your house once again. Lord, I thank you for the good service you gave us this morning. Thank you, Lord, for the good meal. Father, I thank you for just blessing us like you have, and the opportunity to be involved in the ministry and the work, the mission of getting the gospel out, Lord, sending these pews. And Lord, I thank you for the men that, Lord, have come and willing to take these pews and willing just to do something for God. And I pray that you'd help us all, Lord, to have that same heart, Lord, just to be open and willing to do and be what you'd have us to be. Father, I pray that you would bless us now as we try to give these few thoughts that you've laid on our heart. I pray that you would speak to us and encourage us. Help us, Lord, just to be what you want us to be, and we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Again, God is giving Israel a real encouraging word here as he is laying out his rules for... Forget your Bible, didn't you? You're all right. You're all right, Ronnie. Good to see you, man. God's giving Israel the rules for warfare, and before he does, he lays out just this first verse and gives them really an encouraging word here. And this encouraging word that he gives has to do with battles. He's encouraging them as they go to war, and the principle applies to troubles in the lives of God's people, really in all ages. Of course, all through the Old Testament and throughout the history of the nation of Israel, they faced many battles. I mean, we know that. David was a man of war. And so there's always battles to fight with Israel. There were enemies to fight. And that's, of course, in that age. But you get over into the age that we're living in, and we certainly still have battles. Only they are spiritual battles. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, the rulers of the darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in high places. And so there's certainly still battles to fight, and this encouragement applies in all ages, and they apply to the troubles that you and I are going to face in our Christian life, the battles that we're going to fight. Now, this is very important, because on the heels of the service this morning, the message this morning, all those things, anyone who's going to do anything for God is going to have battles to fight. The only way to never fight a battle or have a trouble of any kind is to just simply do nothing. Do nothing for God. You know, they say, if you never want to offend somebody or never want to have a hard time, you know, do nothing, say nothing, believe nothing, you know. And that's the only way, is just to float through this life. If you're really going to do something for God, you young people, young families, if you're going to do anything for God, there's going to be battles. In this society, this day and age, if you're going to raise a family for the glory of God, you're going to do it God's way and do it right. If you're going to raise godly children, have a godly home, listen, there's going to be some stands you're going to have to take. Listen, the preacher is not the only one that ever has to take a stand. Amen. God's people have to take a stand to do what's right. And typically it's going to be That shoe leather Christianity is where the most stands are going to be taken, where you're going to have your hardest battles, where you're outside of this place, you're on the job, you know, you're raising your family and you're facing criticism from other family and other friends and all those things. That's where the battles and the you know, the victories and the losses come. I mean, that's where there's victory and defeat. And so God gives some encouragement to His people, though, in the face of battles and troubles. And so I want to give you about three thoughts out of this verse and hopefully be an encouragement to you, because if you're going to do anything for God, you're going to face this and you need this. And so I want to notice, first of all, in this verse, the sureness of our troubles. Again, you're going to do anything, there's going to be troubles. They are sure to come. He says in the verse, the very first phrase is, "When thou goest out to battle." When thou goest. Not if you go, but when you go. In other words, it's going to happen. Battles are going to come. God was telling Israel right there, you're going to go to war. There's going to be enemies to fight. And so when it happens, do it this way. And the same is true for God's people. The same is true for saved people. In 2023, Jesus said, "They that live godly in Christ shall suffer persecution." And so it's going to come. Battles are going to come if you're going to do anything for God. And so they are certainly a sure thing. And that's what that phrase speaks of. It speaks of certainty. It's not if you go, but when you go. And battles with their enemies were certain, just as battles with your enemies are going to be certain. Now, your enemies and my enemies are not necessarily the same as what the children of Israel had, because they were facing a physical enemy. You and I are facing the world, the flesh, and the devil. Those are our enemies, and they are going to fight us. Amen? So it's with troubles, or it's the same way with troubles in our life as saved people. Troubles and trials are as certain as I am standing here. As certain as you are sitting right there. You are going to have troubles, and I don't even have to belabor that because you know that. We all know. Man, Job said, man and who is born of woman is a few days and full of troubles in Job 14. Amen. And even one of Job's friends, back in Job chapter 5, he said, man is born into trouble as the sparks fly upward. So in other words, just as a fire burns and the sparks fly up, you can know that man is going to have troubles. Amen? And so sure as the world, we are going to have troubles in our life. So while living godly does eliminate many troubles, at the same time, Psalm 34 says, many are the afflictions of the righteous. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. I think about that psalm, the brother Moises' family sang it. A lot of people have sung it, and it's a great song. That song, talking about missing out. I've missed out. I've missed out on the heartache of living my life in sin, you know. Just going through all the things that I've missed out. And praise God, we've missed out on a lot because we've served Jesus. Amen? Somebody who would get saved early in life and just dedicate their life to serving the Lord will miss out on a lot of the problems that this world will give them. I mean, you thank God you'll miss out on venereal diseases if you'll just serve God and do right. Amen? You'll miss out on drunkenness and wrecking your life with alcohol. You'll miss out on drug addiction and wrecking your life being addicted to drugs. You'll miss out on a broken home. You'll miss out. And there's so many things you'll miss out on, thank God, if you'll just serve God and do what is right. Amen? But on the flip side, living righteous brings its own set of problems and its own set of troubles. And so they are certainly sure. So you may as well just embrace it, that it's going to come. But the next thing we see in this verse, not just the sureness of our troubles, but the scare from our troubles. He said, "When thou goest out to battle against thine enemies, and seest horses and chariots and people more than thou, be not afraid of them." You know, most of the time, the biggest problem when some trouble comes in our life isn't as much the trouble itself, but it's how scary it is. You know, a lot of times, it's amazing how, and again, not always, but a lot of times, the problems and troubles that we face in our life are more intimidating than they are anything. As a matter of fact, you know, that's exactly the way the devil works. The Bible says he is as a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. Now, he will certainly devour you, but before you get to the devouring, there's the roaring. And all lions have a roar. I mean, you get out there on the savannah, you know, out in Africa, and I mean from miles away, you can hear them lions roaring, you know. And I've never been there, but I've seen videos and heard them and things like that. And I mean, that roar is terrifying. If I was over there at night and I was hearing that thing way off in the distance, I'd be thinking, man, I sure hope that thing don't walk up on me. Because it is a terrifying roar. It is intimidating. And he intimidates. And that's the way he tries to do God's people. And that's the way your troubles will do you if you're not careful. They will intimidate you. And so, just like Israel's enemies, they look so great and look to be so many that they'll overwhelm us. We'll be so overwhelmed by the appearance of a problem, the appearance of a trouble. But amazingly enough, God said, fear not. I mean, from the outside looking in, I mean, they see horses and chariots and people. And the Bible says, even when they're, you know, much more than you are, they're many more than you. God said, in that situation, fear not. When they're facing a physical army much greater than they. Well, whenever we're facing a trouble much greater than us, the response is still, fear not. Fear not, because in spite of size and numbers, our troubles really need not scare us. Now, in our flesh, I mean, we all battle that, and I understand that. I mean, I do, and you do. I mean, we battle worry and anxiety, and how's this going to work out, and how's that going to work out? By the way, on the heels of the message this morning, dealing with God's will, that's what keeps a lot of people from doing God's will. That's what keeps a lot of people from surrender, because in their mind, they can't work it out. They got to see it on paper, got to see a path to victory, a path to success, and they got to know this is exactly how it's going to work out, and this is where I'm going to end up. And God doesn't always show us that. He tells us what He wants us to do, but He doesn't always show us the path to get there. And so a lot of people, out of fear of the unknown and fear of not knowing every detail, never do anything. That's it. That's where faith is. You know, the Bible talks about how thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. So the lamp unto my feet, that's my next step. God's word and His Spirit will always show you your next step. Probably all of us at least know our next step. We know that's what we're doing right now. I at least know what I need to do right now. You know, that's day-to-day Christian living. Every day. You know. Next step, next step, next step. And so He's a lamp unto my feet, the next step, and then a light unto my path. That's on down the road. See, God will show you in His Word, and He'll show you through His Spirit what He wants you to be down the road. We know we're going to be glorified, we're going to be like Him one day, and that's on down the road. Listen, if you're single, unmarried, don't have kids, all those things, listen, you're not facing the battles of having a godly home right now, but if you read that Bible, God will show you what a godly home looks like for down the road. He'll show you what kind of husband He wants you to be down the road. You're not doing it right now because you're not even married. But He'll show you how to prepare and what He wants you to be. He'll show you the godly wife He wants you to be. It's all down the road. But He doesn't show you necessarily everything in between. He'll show you who He wants you to be, what He wants you to be, how He wants you to do this, how He wants you to do that. But all you know is the next step right here. I don't know who I'm going to marry. And I don't know how it's all going to work out. And I know God, you know, wants me to do this. And I know God wants to make a decision. I know God's will about this. And I don't know how it's all going to work out. But I know that's what He wants me to be. Does that all make sense? See, it's always the middle ground that gets a little bit fuzzy, gets a little bit dark. Because God doesn't always show us that. He shows us the next step by faith. He shows us what I'm going to do in your life by faith. But everything in between, you're just going to trust me. And sometimes He shows us and sometimes He doesn't. But the fact is, it all comes down to faith and trust in God. Amen? And so I'm just simply saying that it's that fear of the unknown that keeps a lot of people from serving God, keeps a lot of people from doing His will, and it's what overcomes a lot of people in the times of their troubles too. The fear. Because it looks so big and it looks so bad and I can't see how God is going to bring it all together. I can't see how God is going to get me through this. I can't see and I don't know how this is all going to happen, you know. But God says, fear not. You say, well, how in the world can I do that? By faith. Taking Him at His word by faith and choosing, God, I'm not going to be afraid. Praying and telling God, Lord, I'm going to let you handle this. I'm not going to worry about this. And you say, well, I prayed and then I got scared again. Well, you pray again. You keep praying. You keep trusting. You keep renewing. You keep going back to the Lord over and over and over. I think a lot of times we get in our mind that it's a one and done thing. Like, well, I pray and God does it and boom, and I never battle it again. Man, that's a daily battle. Sometimes it's a moment by moment battle. But you just keep going. You just keep praying. And you fear not. You say, well, what's the reason that we shouldn't fear troubles? Well, he tells us that in the verse 2. Because not only is there sureness of our troubles, they're going to happen. There's the scare from our troubles. But then, number 3, last of all, the main thing is the strength for our troubles. He says, when you see the horses and chariots and people more than thou, he said, be not afraid of them, for the Lord thy God is with thee, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. See, we don't have to fear, we don't have to be afraid, because God is with us. No matter how big the army was, Israel never had to be afraid of defeat, no matter how big the numbers were. They never had to fear because God was with them, and God is always the majority. If you've got the Lord on your side, He is always the majority. I was talking to Brother Drew earlier before they left. He was talking about, you know, things that they're praying about for their ministry and things they'd like to see God do. And he's talking about, you know, of course, he's got this rig now, and he said it's done great. Lord's blessed them with it. Thank the Lord for it. But he's talking about the rig he'd like to get and how they could carry so many more things and how he could take his family. And a lot of times when you go into these disaster areas, you don't know where you're going to stay or if there's going to be anywhere to stay. And the rig he'd like to get to be able to have, you know, somewhere for his family to stay. And all, I mean, just all these things. But, you know, it's like $250,000, you know. And so, you know, he said, you know, him and his wife talked about it, and his wife, you know, makes statements like, you know, I mean, we could never afford that, you know. He said his response is always, listen, my God uses gold as asphalt. And a God that uses gold as asphalt to pave his streets with, I mean, a $250,000 rig is nothing to him. $1 million rig is nothing to him. I mean, any one of our problems is nothing to God whenever he paves his streets with gold. Amen. I mean, he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. It's all his anyways. God can do it and will do it. Now, he rarely ever does it the way we think he's going to do it. He rarely ever does it the way we want him to do it. We want God to just put the check in the bank, you know, and then it's there. And he rarely does it that way. God does it his own way. Amen? He uses other people and he uses other means and he puts things together, usually in a way that we never thought it would ever happen. But God always does it when we trust him. He does it when we trust him because he's the majority. See, he had delivered Israel from their troubles in the past. And he makes that point there. He said, for the Lord thy God is with thee, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. He reminds them that I'm the one that's with you, and I'm the one that's delivered you before. I'm the one that got you out of Egypt. And see, all that, just making that statement is going to bring up so many memories. It's going to remind them of so many things. See, they're going to remember them frogs. They're going to remember those lice. They're going to remember that darkness. They're going to remember that firstborn and that Passover. They're going to remember, you know, all those things. And see, the thing is, whenever God brought all them plagues, every time he brought a plague, he in a sense said, I'm going to do it that they will know there is a God in heaven. And that's the Jacob Rutledge paraphrase, but go back and read it. With every plague he sent, he said, I'm going to do this and they will know that I am God. Amen? And so whenever he says this to Israel, that I'm the one that brought you out of the land of Egypt, they're reminding them he delivered us and he's the one that sent the plagues and he's the one that made himself known. And we saw his power in all those things. And surely, if he's powerful enough to turn all the water to blood and do all those things to deliver us out of the hand of Egypt, surely he can get us through this. Isn't that right? I mean, surely if God did that, surely He can do this. And couldn't we all say that in our life? I mean, surely if God got me through that, He can get me through this. Surely if God got me through that, He can get me through this. I mean, what God has got me through, He can get me through now. I mean, God, the God of yesterday, is the God of today. Amen? So He's reminding them that He delivered them in the past, and just as He delivered Israel from the power of Egypt, He could deliver them from their troubles in the present. And that's the reminder for us too. In other words, He'll do it again. You remember that song? He'll do it again. We tend to focus on how big the trouble is. We should look, however, at how big God is. We should look how big God is. Everything is the Lord's. The heavens declare the glory of God. I mean, it's all His. He can do it, and He will do it. So He's bigger than any of our troubles, and He can overcome any or all of them. If you say, oh, I can't make it through this, this thing that I'm facing, or this, you know, this question I have, this, you know, this giant. I mean, there's just no way I can overcome this. I mean, I think all of us battle this at different times, no doubt about it. I mean, the surety of it all, we all battle this. I know me, we're all at different places in life, but we still face the same spiritual battles. I know for me, where I'm at life, young father, young husband, young family, and I look at the society we're in, I look at the downward spiral on, and I just think, Lord, there's no way. There's no way I could raise my family and they could turn out. There's no way. You know, it's just sometimes the devil just makes you seem like it's impossible. But God will. God can. God is able. And sometimes I just make that statement. I think, not even just about my family, not about many things. You know, about ministry. I think that about ministry sometimes. My Lord, I can't do this. I don't know what to do. This is bigger than me. This is beyond me. And so I'm just simply saying that if you've ever said that to yourself, Lord, I can't make it through this. Some heartache, some trouble, whatever it is, Lord, I can't make it through this. I don't have the strength to make it through this. You're right. You're right about that. The truth is, you're right. I'm right. We're all right. Whenever we say that, we're correct in saying that. We cannot make it on our own. But you need not fear, because it's God's strength that will give victory in every trouble. I've heard Brother Ernest say it many times recently, and I've seen it in my own life, that it's always amazing the grace that is always available when you need it. For every mile, there's grace. And a lot of times, it's, you know, everything we go through, you know, again, the unknowns are what scare us. The scare of troubles, and the scare is the unknown. You're facing things you've never faced before. And so you've never experienced that grace. And lo and behold, it's always there. It's always available. And so it's His strength that'll get us through every trouble. You know, we almost always look back whenever we've gone through something. Not every time, but almost always. We look back and we find that thing that we went through, that circumstance, that difficult spot, that hard thing that we never thought we could make it through, we almost always look back and find that it really wasn't as hard as I thought it was going to be. And that's the way it always is. When you're going into it, and you're in the midst of it, you're thinking, man, this is just, you know, I'm under this load. I'm never going to make it. And then you get on the other side and things kind of calm down and God's got you through. And you look back and you say, well, man, it was hard, but I made it. We made it. Those mountains never look as tall when you're looking back at them. When you're facing them, I mean, they look like they're just unmountable, unclimbable. But little by little, God gets you up and over and gets you through. And He just does it. And then you look back and you realize, it wasn't that bad. It's bad, but it wasn't that bad. God got me through it. God made me better. God strengthened me. He did it. And that's what it comes down to, is that God's grace is always being sufficient. And that's what that is, by the way. When we look back and see things not as bad as we thought they were going to be, what that in itself is the sufficiency of God's grace. It's God letting you know that His grace is sufficient and was sufficient all the way through. And so there is a sureness of our troubles. They're going to come. There is a scare from our troubles, and don't let them intimidate you. Because there is strength for your troubles. God will always get you through every time. Let's pray. Father, come before your throne of grace once again, and we thank you for letting us be together. And thank you, Lord, for this little thought. And Lord, I know that it's not much, but Lord, I just pray that you'll take it and use it. And I feel like, Lord, it's what you'd have us to give and what was on our heart. And so, Lord, I pray that no doubt, Lord, there's no someone here that needed it, and I pray that you'd take it and use it. Lord, even myself, Lord, at times we still battle, Lord, with the troubles that we face and being overwhelmed. And I just pray that you'd help us all, Lord, to trust you and, Lord, knowing that you will always see us through. Father, I pray that you'd bless our church, bless us as we leave this place. Lord, I pray that you would bless the men as they travel, bless Brother Chris as they travel up. And I pray that you just use those pews in a mighty way. I pray that you'd touch every soul, Lord, that would sit on one of those pews and hear the gospel. I pray that they would be saved. And Lord, you would just use that ministry in a great and mighty way. Lord, I thank you once again for letting us be in the house of God. Lord, I pray that you'd have your will and way in our lives as we leave this place. In Jesus' name, amen.